Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. I've been battling allergies for years now. Let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, gang? Welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh. I'm so pumped to have you here with me. Now listen, The Greatness Machine, we're about two things. Number one, people who are living their passions. And number two, those who are creating greatness in the world and doing both of these things despite the odds against them. Each episode, we're going to feature interviews with game changers, business leaders, you know, telling us their origin stories, what made them tick, what got them to where they are now. Why? So it can help you step into your greatness within your life, your business, and your career. Occasionally, you might hear a few solo episodes from myself, moi as I say, as I leverage my 20 years of entrepreneurship as a CEO and founder to help you grow and level up in your journey to scale your life and your business. So come be a fly on the wall, enjoy the conversation, and I'm stoked to have you here with me. Guys, welcome to The Greatness Machine. I'm your host, Darius Mirshazadeh, and man, do we have a special treat. My main man, Mike McAuliffe, is here to join us. Mike, welcome to the show, my friend.
Darius, I'm pumped that we're doing this. And hey, thanks for doing the Clubhouse together. This was quite a few months ago, but that was really an eye-opener for me.
You know what? I don't know if you know this, but that was the launch. So that was my kickoff party for this podcast, was that show.
I didn't appreciate that. No.
Yeah. So when I was launching the podcast, you know, I've been doing lives for about a year with our friend, Amber Vilhauer, got me into that.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, like no one really watches more than 10 minutes of a live, but they'll listen to an hour of a podcast. Right. Yeah. And my shows run an hour, like, you know, 45 minutes, an hour, like it without it, I don't even have to try. And I hit that. Right. And so, I mean, I could talk for 2 hours if I wanted to. And so I was like, you know, I want to go big on launching the podcast. So we get some momentum. And so I was like, God, who? I'm like, I bet you Mike would do it, which could, you know, I was like, I need someone who's a stud, AKA Mike. And I knew, and I'd been talking about you. I'd been on Clubhouse a lot in the beginning. Right. So I'd been kind of, your name kept popping up. And like, I'd be on a room like, you guys should read a book called Profit First. Yeah. And I'm in like a room with 1,000 people and I'm on stage and I'm like texting the guy running the room. I said, hey, I know Mike. Do you guys want to bring him in? And they're like, fuck yeah, we want to bring him in. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna launch my podcast. So first of all, thank you for doing that. Right back at you. And dude, my podcast hit number 11 in the country for entrepreneurship because of the launch I had.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
oh my
gosh. Yeah.
I was also 11 in the country, 11,000. Like mine is so far down though. That's amazing. Amazing.
Dude, like the first week we hit number 61 for an overall business category for the whole United States. Like number 11.
That's unbelievable, Darius.
Yeah. I'm telling you, a big part of that was the podcast we did on Clubhouse. So dude, you helped make it happen. I really appreciate that.
Oh yeah, well. It was a joy to be there. I thought I was the main beneficiary. The exposure is just great. So thank you.
Yeah, it was badass. We had about 3,000 people come through that room.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. So that was a great thing. I appreciate you doing that with us. Guys, I wanted to, Mike, do you mind if I give background on how you and I have met and how we know each other?
Oh, totally. I gotta pick up my pen and just drop, but yeah.
Yeah, no worries. So for those of you guys that, you know, listen to the show, you know that the show's about two things. People who are living their passions and those who are creating greatness in this world. And Mike is neither short of passion or greatness. We met, so the and you guys know I talk about MIT all the time. It's a thing that's kind of changed my life. It's infiltrated my life. It's why I wrote the book. It's why I, you know, it helped me a ton in business. And the program there is BOG, Birthing of Giants. And there's a graduate program that I'm actually chairing this year called Gathering of Titans. And so, Mike, you're a graduate of BOG. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah.
So Mike is a graduate of the program as well. He comes back and he talks, he does a talk to our group and tells his whole entrepreneurial story. And it's, and it, I mean, I'm trying to think lack of better words. It's fucking crazy, right? Yeah. This gnarly entrepreneurial story. And then right after that, actually joined the group and is now a member. And now we're in the group together. And yeah. So man, like, it was really cool to like first meet you there. And then people had heard I was writing a book. They're like, oh, you got to talk to Mike McCallowitz.
Yeah,
so we
talked
a little bit about it. And then when I launched the book, everyone's like, you got to talk to Mike McCallowitz. And he hooks me up with my book. And I hit him up and he's like, I'm like, hey, man, I'd love a few minutes of your time. I've never told you the story. I'm going to tell it to you right now. And I'm like, hey, Mike, I'd love to pick your brain on your book launch. And you're like, yeah, you got to talk to my team. And I'm like, well, I just really want to, in my mind, I'm like, I just want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, is this guy like big timing me?
That's douchey of me.
No. Here's the best thing. You were literally being legit. You're like, dude, you got to talk to my team because.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Because yeah. Amber's such a fucking badass, dude.
Amber's like, amazing. Yeah. So she managed our book launch. And to the point where I was involved in my responsibilities, but not in the oversight.
Oh yeah.
And that's why she and her organization, she works with Isaac and some other folks there. They know more about the process of book launch than anyone I've known combined. And I'll say that lightly, like I've worked with other people that do elements of it, but they've packaged it all together. And the result for me, you know, I've been in this business for so long. I launched a book called Fix This Next through the organization, and it was by far the best launch I ever had. The book went to the Wall Street Journal list and so forth. Not, you know, Darius, you may know this, people buy their way into his list. Those lists are bullshit. Like, oh, I have a New York Times bestseller. It's like, oh, you paid the $75,000 for that? Like, yeah, kind of. You know, and these Wall Street journalists. And sometimes you can get on the list just through authentic demand. So if you see something, a book that's on that list for like, you know, months on end or sometimes years on end, like Atomic Habits or something, James Clear isn't buying his way on the list. That's a legit score. So I never aspired to do it. So if it happens naturally one day, I'd be honored. It happened naturally for a couple of weeks or a week, but Amber's team did that.
Yeah. And it was the best gift you gave me, man. And oh, I didn't think, I've never thanked you for that. At the moment I was like, no, I want to talk to you. And then you did it. I was like, oh, I see. It was like right away. I was like, dude, he hooked me up. So thank you for that, brother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I would never mean like that douchebaggery of like, oh, I'm so important. Like I am not.
I know you're not like that. I it's funny is I just didn't know you that well then. So I didn't have an interpretation. I just, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So since then, like we've gotten to know each other better through Amber and through my book launch and man, like, people say writing a book is hard. Dude, writing a book is fucking easy. Launching a book successfully, in my opinion, is 10x harder than writing a book.
Yes. And I'll actually even add one more to that. Beyond the launch, there's something that's even 10x harder than that, which is the sustainability of a book.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's three stages that authors go through. And I would say the vast majority only consider stage one. It's the production of a book. And we put our life and soul into it. For me, even today, I'm now in my seventh book. It is overwhelming. I always underestimate the efforts that's going to be required to write a book. I still do. And then once it's done, it's like, oh, it's done. I've arrived.
Done.
The
done.
World will forever be changed. You know, I gift you my greatness. And then the next day, it's like, no one gives a shit. Oh. No one. On my launch day, my first book, zero sales. And I love to give this context. That means my own mother didn't buy a book. Like, no one. And I'm like, Ma. And she's like, oh, today was the day? I'm sorry. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble's tomorrow. I'm like, Mom, it's not even at Barnes & Noble's. You got to do it online. She's like, I don't know how to do online.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God. An author called me. I don't remember his name. I just remember the voice. And I was lamenting. I'm like, I just launched a book. This is 15 years ago. No one's bought it. I bought 20,000 copies for myself. I had them at my house. I was so ignorant and arrogant. He goes, oh, don't worry. He goes, that's simply the quiet before the quiet. And then he hangs up the phone. And I'm like, oh. So that's the lesson was, oh my gosh, you put everything into writing a book. You got to put 10 times that into the launch. And then you have to 10 times that every day in the promotion going forward. I do believe this. If you believe, and your book is amazing.
Thank you. If you
believe your book can change lives significantly, if you believe on a dollar-to-dollar value, I mean, look at your book. I believe in my books, for a dollar-to-dollar value, you can get the coaching, all this stuff. Dollar for dollar, nothing touches your book. And I hope nothing touches mine.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have a responsibility to market accordingly. This is life-changing stuff for $30 or less.
Yeah, it's so amazing to see like the amount of effort, to your point, the quiet before the quiet. I swear, like that just hit me so hard in the gut. I was like, yeah, I don't even know if the numbers are. You might know them better than I don't know them. So if you know them at all, you'll know them better than I do. Like, there's so many new books that come out every day.
Oh.
What I found was shocking was people would buy my book or I'd give them my book or whatever. And actually, let's forget about giving it, because giving it and they don't read it, they didn't pay anything.
People do not read gifts. You can give the best book in the world. You can give the Bible to people. I've received like 10 of them, won't read it. And I'm not saying that's the best book in the world, but the ratings are pretty much 4.7 stars. which also is kind of funny, because I did this. I'm like, is there any book on the planet that's never gotten one star? It's like hate mail. Even the Bible and the equivalent, literary works for different religious sects, all of them have one stars. How? I don't even get it.
Yeah.
I read in the Bible, this was my favorite one star, bad storytelling.
It's the Bible. It's the word of God.
It's a big story. It's bad storytelling.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. In the world of successful partnerships, names like Procter & Gamble, Ben & Jerry, and Supply and Demand echo through business history. But when it comes to growing your business, who are the perfect partners? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. We're talking from launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we hit a million-dollar order stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Picture this, a time when my business was facing a tough hurdle and I wasn't sure how to break through. But then came the breakthrough moment, a game changer that took my business to the next level. You know, what I absolutely adore about Shopify is its unparalleled ability to adapt and grow with your ambitions. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 75 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Darius, all lowercase. That's D-A-R-I-U-S. Go to shopify.com/Darius now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/Darius. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with the samples. Hey there, friends. It's Darius from Shazda here, and I have a little confession to make. You see, I've been battling allergies for years now. And let me tell you, they've been a real ordeal in my life. Allergies have been my constant companion. They stop me from fully enjoying the little things in life, canceling plans with friends because of sudden allergy attack, to missing out on an outdoor activity because of sneezing fits. Allergies have been a real nuisance. Luckily, for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing and a runny nose, itchy watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been a Claritin D user for many, many years now. And let me tell you, it's made a world of difference. Since I started using Claritin D, my symptoms have improved dramatically. Now I can breathe easier, enjoy outdoor activities without worrying about sneezing fits, and truly live my life without being held back by allergies. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter now. You don't even need a prescription. Go to ClaritinD.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear, use as directed. Yeah, so what amazed me was people were like, oh, I bought your book. They're like, oh, cool. I'm like, what do you think? They're like, I haven't read it yet. 6 months later, oh, man, how's your book doing? Yeah, it's doing all right. I'm like, so what do you think of it? I haven't read it yet. I'm like, oh, my dude. And I think of myself, I buy tons of books and don't read them. So what I found was it's really A, it was shocking to me that people would buy the book and not read it. And then B, that it was one of these things where, even to your point, good friends, family, they're like, how's the book going? And they're not supporting at all.
Oh, no, like, no one steps up. No,
20 years of my life in that book.
I know. I think authorship is the brutal essence of entrepreneurship. The analogy I use is when you write a book, just in the business genre alone, and to give some context, there's 2 million books released per year that are registered. That means Amazon has 2 million new books every year coming on board. That doesn't include all those PDFs, downloads, all that stuff. So it is a really competitive market. What I tell people, just in the business genre alone, releasing a book is like putting one cereal box that's different and unique in the cereal aisle at a supermarket, but the entire supermarket has decided to become selling cereal. So every aisle cereal, and it's connected between 10 supermarkets that are all linked together, all carrying just cereal. Find your box. That is basically the competition we're going against. It is extraordinarily difficult to stand out and get noticed. And that's absolutely our responsibility.
Yeah. And like using the number you just quoted, that which answered my earlier question is, dude, that's 5,500 books a day come out.
I know.
Per day. So like my book comes out in the next week, there's 25,000 other books that just hit at the same, that week. That's in those 5 days, right? Not including the weekend. So you get lost in the noise. I heard this quote that you just reminded me of. They said, the second hardest thing to do is to raise money. The first hardest is to build an audience, right? And so you start looking at that. It's like, because people are paying you with their most valuable asset, not their money, their fucking time. Right.
Yeah. So in our books, to your earlier point of the readership, so of all the people exposed to it, say you're lucky 1% buy it. So every 100 people that hear of it, 1% on a good day, and end up saying, you know what, I'll put that in my Kindle or I'll download or something like that. Of the people that actually buy a book, I believe it's roughly 10% that will open the book, and 10% of that group that will complete it, back to 1%. Our goal is that 1% that finishes the book is so enthusiastic, is so in love with the book that they tell 100 more people. And if we can get that, which I think we hit a tipping point. If I can get one person to inspire 100 people to buy a book, then it starts over again. 10% will open the crack, the book open. 10% of that will finish the book. And I need that one person to be inspired for another 100. With my first book, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, I remember getting a story of someone that bought a book that didn't know of me, but said, I read your book and I love your book. And he's like, I want to tell you how I heard about it. And there was a taxi cab driver, he said, and I only had the description of this guy. It was like somewhere in Chicago. He had like dreadlocks. He had those ear stretching loops before they were cool, like nipple rings. You could just see through his t-shirt. And this guy gets in the cab and he's like, oh my God, this is not feeling safe. And the taxi cab driver doesn't turn around and say, where do you want to go? He goes, dude, you got to listen to this effing book, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur. And he hits play on his Audible and they start driving. And the guy's like, you have this advocate out there for you. And I'm like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
We have to lean into so much who we are that there's a certain community that says, this was written for me and only for me. And I'm going to start preaching it to the world. And I try to do that with every book. I try to do it with everyone that reads it. And it's a rarity, but sometimes you get that person that becomes that Uber promoter.
Yeah, and I want to get into how do you do that, but before we go there, like I didn't even give your formal bio. Like guys, those of you that are new to Mike, which is probably far and few between, I'm coming to learn. By the way, I'm in an airport the other day, an FBO. I went to see a client that I spoke about the book. They hired me, a publicly traded company, to come and actually build their core values. First one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The coolest part of the whole thing was they flew me on a private jet to and from.
That's cooler.
That was pretty amazing. I mean, both were cool. I'm coming home and I'm sitting there and I unsolicited, this happened. I'm not kidding you. This may not blow your mind, but it blew my mind. And the consultant that hired me was like, you know, I'm about to start reading this book. Have you ever heard of this? And pulls out Pumpkin Plan, like straight up out of her purse.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, yeah, Mike's going to be on my show. This is on Tuesday. I said, yeah, Mike's going to be on my show on Friday. This is 3 days ago. So random, unsolicited, bust out the Pumpkin Plan in hard form. And I'm like, what? Like, and that, I'll tell you what, honestly, man, that is how maybe you're just a big ass deal and you don't know it, but that's how it, I'm telling you, that's how it, hey, Darius, have you heard of Profit First? I coach entrepreneurs, dude. Like, yeah. we follow the Profit First plan. Hey, Darius, have you heard of Clockwork?
I'm like, the guy's an asshole. You should be the anti-me. Like, yeah, he's called a big D-bag.
No.
Well, we call him McCallus Shits back at BOG.
Yeah. No. I go, Mike's a badass. I go, I'm lucky enough to know him personally. So no, you're out there, man. You're in the ether. But you've done all these books, you know. Get Different is the new book we're going to be talking about. Fix This Next, Clockwork, Profit First, Pumpkin Plan. I mean, you know, Toilet Paper Entrepreneur is what got it all started. But, you know, do you mind giving like the 5 minute quick and dirty of how did you get to writing books? Because it wasn't where you started. You started off as an entrepreneur. Yeah, give us the quick and dirty. And then I'd love to talk about, you know, about the new stuff as well.
So, yeah, sure. So the quick and dirty, became an entrepreneur right out of college. I actually never had a real job for a long, I did in the very beginning. I worked at a computer store. That's a real job. Started my own business on a drunken bet, effectively. Terrified, didn't know what I was doing, but fell in love with the entrepreneurial journey as I was doing it. I sold that to private equity, started a new business in computer crime investigation, hooked the Enron trial. We didn't do the entire Enron trial. We did defense side work for what was called the Nigerian barge trials, one of the major elements of the Enron events, and put my little company on the map. And then Christie Brinkley hires us, and we do, you know, Michael Jackson, his attorneys are talking with us about the trial that they were going through at the time to do all these forensic investigations. That company was like from nothing to 7 million on a bootstrap within 2.5 years, get acquired by a Fortune 500. And that's the day I became the ultimate douchebag, because I'm like, oh, I am like, I know everything. I am God's gift to entrepreneurship. I have the Midas touch, you know, all this stuff that I promised I would never become. I was the biggest D-bag. And I moved into the most expensive town. I got a place out in Hawaii for sabbaticals. I got the cars. I had a Dodge Viper, which ends up, Darius, is the trophy for dicks. You know, I'm sitting there, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was blind to it. But here's the essence of dickhood. I thought I was better than you. I thought I was better than everyone. I'm getting goosebumps here because I'm ashamed of that. I'm embarrassed. I wouldn't say that to you, but I would feel it. If we were walking down the street and we crossed paths and you're like, hey, how you doing, Mike? I'm like, I'm doing great. And in my head, I'm like, but you're not doing as good as me. Like just total, utteral dickhood. I then start a new business as an angel investor, because if you're a BOG-er and you have an exit, you got to become an angel investor. So right. Okay, that's what I am now. I had no clue what I was doing. I wiped out everything I had. I lost my house.
Wow.
And I remember coming home to my family. I may have told you this before, and facing my family saying, we're losing the house. We lost it 30 days later. We lost all our possessions. And I told my daughter she can't go to horseback riding lessons because I was broke. I can't afford it. She ran to her room to get a piggy bank, and she comes back to me at three children. And she looks at me, and she goes, Daddy, since you can no longer provide for you, I will, at 9 years old. And that was like this wake up call of the century that I got no clue about entrepreneurship. I have no clue about humanity. And I went to depression for a few years and struggled, but I was in GOT up until my depression. So I was in GOT. Wow. There was the founding class.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in Rick Sapio's class. I continued GOT. I went to depression. And it's like, I can't face the world. I'm so embarrassed. So I skipped GOT for 3 or 4 consecutive years before I got invited back to speak years later. And it was a wake up call. So what happens is it planted a seed. It wasn't like the next morning I woke up and said, I got to fix all this, but planted a seed. And I started journaling, which is a great cheap therapy, by the way, when you can't afford a therapist, just write. And I started writing like what I don't understand about entrepreneurship. I didn't understand profitability. Those businesses were never profitable. They had great revenue. They were never profitable. I was terrified. I didn't understand how to manage people. I thought micromanagement was like the way to run businesses. I didn't understand the importance of individuals and that how there's a communal component to business. And I thought it was a hierarchy and that I was the king. You know, that pyramid where I put on top in a box, the word me, and this long line all the way down to all the other people that are serving me. And I felt that my ego got ripped out, I hope, that day. And I pray it never returns. Maybe it will. I pray to God it never does. And I set out to solve all the things I don't understand about business. Every book I've written, I didn't get it. And I don't know if I still get it, but I invest everything I can to figure it out, apply it to my current businesses. And then whoever else wants to learn it, I put it out there, you know, through books.
Nice. Wow, man. I appreciate you getting vulnerable like that. Funny enough, I had a similar thing, right? When did you graduate BOG? What year?
2001, 2002. And when you weren't even born yet.
Yeah, I was like in my mom's womb.
I tell you this, I am your father. This is the awkward reveal. So, I'm proud of you.
You mean Mershazadeh is really Michalowicz?
Yeah. Actually, Michalowicz is the simplified version of Mr. Kananrade. So.
They're both M's and they both have a Z and they have 12 letters.
Exactly. And no one can pronounce them.
So what year did you go belly up?
I went belly up twice. So once in 2008 was the big one. That's when I lost my house and stuff.
Okay.
I did once before, but not to that degree. So 2008 was the great reckoning. And, you know, there was this economic collapse too. I'm like, oh, I'm going to play the stock market. I have no clue what I'm doing. Ooh, that goes bye-bye. 2008 to 2010, 11, I was in this depressive state, which actually reminds me now. I take it back. I was still doing GOT during that, but I was in total denial. I kind of removed myself. There was a certain point where then I decided to leave for about 3 to 4 years. So it actually came a little bit later on and then just restarted maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Because I got started for 17 was my first year.
Okay.
So my business, I had a business that was number 40 in the Inc. 500. It was my first company. It was literally the 40th fastest growing company in the United States from 03 to 06. But it was a subprime mortgage lender. So in 07, we implode. When I was at the Inc. 5000 conference, I was the 40th fastest shrinking company in the United States.
Oh my God.
And then I went 5 years of zero money. I didn't make a dollar for 5 years. $0 I made a profit. I made a lot of profit over the previous years. Yeah. And I had to live. The only reason I didn't go belly up is I was cheap and I didn't like, and I saved all my money. And then I spent most of it over the next 5 years. But the biggest issue there was the depression, right? Massive depression, self-doubt, like I'm a fucking loser.
Yep.
All my people that used to, what you don't realize when you're CEO or an entrepreneur and you're running the business is people are fucking nice to you because you're the boss.
Yeah.
Like yeah, straight totally up. True. Totally straight true. Up. I don't care how great of a company you run, people are nice to you because of the position of authority you have.
Yep.
And all of a sudden people are not returning my calls who were nice to me for years and years and years. And I was not a dick. I was a pretty good, like nice entrepreneur. But all of a sudden they didn't have anything. They need me for anything.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh wow, it was a privilege to be the CEO. And I thought that I deserved that attention. But the reality was I got it because of the role I had.
Yeah. Right?
And so I quit talking to all my BOG people because I was embarrassed. I was like, I'm going to go there and talk about how I haven't made any money and I can't grow a business and I'm pivoting. I quit EO. I quit my forum. I went into a pretty dark depression. I gained a bunch of weight and it took me a while to get out of it. 2012, 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 5 years And then I, you know, finally I got, you know, got lucky again, I guess. And I popped out of it and had a good ride thereafter. But yeah, man, it's the entrepreneurship is hard. You know,
entrepreneurship's hard. You know, do you reflect on those days as actually being of service to you? In retrospect, is that good that you had that?
You know, people always say like, yeah, but you know, I bet you wouldn't do it any other way. And I'm like, fuck no, I would, you know, my answer to it is I was way too hard on myself.
Yeah.
And that I would have been much kinder to myself and I wouldn't put myself through that. And that my self-worth has nothing to do with the success of my business.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah. I wasn't mature enough to see that. It's funny. I just recently I've been redefining what success is. I think success is the lack of attachment to the affects of success. That right. It's almost feeds on itself. But what I've discovered is really people that I see as successful don't care about the affects. It's really about this inner confidence. And so success doesn't necessarily come from growing a big company. It can be someone that is free of any vice, free of any material things. It could be a very Buddhistic type of life.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're describing Nirvana.
Nirvana. But I think also it can be a company the size of, you know, a Google or whatever. I think it can present any way, but I realized when something is significant because of what it means in regards to prestige or comparison, that's when I'm losing the plot. I like the guy who drives a Ferrari who says, I just like it. I don't care what other people think. I think it's a cool ride. I don't want to ever be the guy's like, oh, I have the Ferrari, honestly, at a subconscious level, so that I can wave my dick around a little bit. Like that's to me now is losing the plot. And it's very difficult for me to stay in alignment with that, but I'm like, ultimately the joy is a disconnection from affects. I like fine things, great wine, beautiful views, nice house, love it. But the second I see it as a comparative, I'm starting this downward spiral, I think.
Oh yeah, no, compared to spare, right?
I never heard that. That's genius.
Yeah, I stole it from LinkedIn. Compare to spare, right? Like comparison is the mother of like, you know, like negativity, right? Like we compare ourselves. I deserve to be more successful than that person, you know?
Totally.
Like, right. Okay. Like that, dude, that's a fucking trap. You know, I have a buddy, I'm in a group called Tiger 21, which is like kind of where YPOers go to like invest their money after they exit. Right.
Yeah.
And there's some really like successful people, like financially successful people, like ridiculous. And so there's a guy in the group and he said, I swear this was like, this blew my mind because I'm nowhere near his level. And he's like, yeah, so he has a private plane. He's like, I had a King Air. And he's like, every time I'd fly into Aspen, I'd look and see the jets and I would be like, God, I'm a loser. So it gets, dude, this gets better. Then he goes, then I bought a jet. And then I'd look over and be like, man, I'd be jealous of the G5.
Gulfstream
5. And he's like, at that moment, I realized, where does this end?
You know,
like private plane's not good. My $3 million, $2 million plane's not good enough. Now I got my $5, $7 million jet. That's not good enough. It's like, where does it end? You know,
it never ends.
And so I'm sitting there taking notes and I'm like, note to self, when I get jet, I won't be happy.
You were just on a private jet. You had the experience.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I needed to expand my team, I wanted more than just resumes. I wanted quality professionals who were the perfect fit for our culture and goals. And LinkedIn Jobs delivered just that. LinkedIn Jobs isn't just another job board. LinkedIn Jobs has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get qualified candidate within 24 hours. They understand the challenges small businesses face, which is why they're constantly innovating to make the hiring process easier. And just recently, LinkedIn launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions in a snap. Trust me, I've used it. It's like having a personal assistant to guide you through the process, making it quicker and more efficient than ever before. And let me tell you, it made all the difference. With LinkedIn's help, I've been able to attract top talent and build a team that's truly exceptional. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/greatness. That's linkedin.com/greatness to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. What's up, TGMers? JustWorks supports small businesses with simple, seamless solutions like integrated payroll. Now, for a limited time only, try out their payroll plan for 1 month for free. As a reliable and flexible platform, JustWorks earns back time so you can focus on running your small business with big confidence. Running a business is demanding. I mean, look, we've all been there. You know, you're juggling countless tasks and responsibilities every single day. That's why when it comes to managing payroll, you need a solution that streamlines the process so you can focus on what really matters, growing your business. Experience the relief of streamlined payroll management with their comprehensive solution. From automated payments to accurate tax calculations and seamless withholdings, JustWorks got you covered. Plus, their expert support ensures you have the assistance every single step of the way. And here's the best part. There's no hidden fees. Designed to be flexible, JustWorks can support teams of one to as many as your small business hires, including contractors. In just 30 minutes, set up a payroll that streamlines paying your team, saves time, mitigates errors, and is a desktop and mobile friendly. You can even integrate time tracking and benefits that support running your small business with big confidence. Don't miss your chance to get 1 month free by visiting justworks.com/greatness. Secure the limited time offer and start letting JustWorks run your payroll so you don't have to. Start your free month now at justworks.com/greatness.
I heard a great phrasing. This actually came from Dave Ramsey in one of his books, or maybe on one of his podcasts or something. But someone was talking about his house, which I've had the privilege of going and visiting and hanging out with Dave Ramsey. It was a social gathering, not an individual like me and him. But what he said, I thought was really powerful. His house is gorgeous, amazing. He goes, "This is my house." He goes, "I'm simply a steward of this house." That word steward is amazing. It's like I'm temporarily responsible to care for something is what a steward does. And he says, it's in this life right now, I'm just in stewardship of these things. And he goes, it's the greatest privilege, but it is simply stewardship. I was like, okay, that kind of all puts things into alignment for me. We're just whatever affects or things we experience, we've been a steward for it. And it could be a butterfly lands in your hand. You are a steward in that moment. And just the volume of appreciation you can have is just as great for that as it could be for a massive house. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just the respect that we have the privilege to be part of this journey in this moment.
Yeah. I love that, man. You're making me think, like, I was asked a question on a podcast. So like, what do you want your legacy to be? And it was, and I said, I don't care about legacy, and I said, and I didn't feel that way before. I said, I just care about really feeling like I lived a fulfilled life while I'm here. Cause when I'm dead and Rand Stegen, right?
Yeah. So I don't know him personally. I mean, I know him through our group. Yeah.
So Rand did this thing with me where he's like, on the left side of your shoulder is your parent, your father, on the right is your mother. To the left.
And they're having sex through your ears. I'm just saying.
They're just totally banging my face. And so he said, what's your dad's name? Say my dad's name. What's your mom's name? Say your mom's name. To the left of your dad is his parents. What are their names? And dude, I don't know my dad's parents' names because they died before I was born.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I do know my mom's parents. He's like, okay, keep going. What are your mom's parents' names? So, right. So he's like, and the data around this is ridiculous. It's like one out of eight people could name more than three generations back or more. I think it's like three out of eight people can't name their grandparents' names, right? Or half or something like that. So he's like, that's legacy, Darius. Like, no one cares once you're dead. Yeah. And so that was to some point of that. And so I have a friend I was talking to, and he's like, I have three, I swear to God, he said this to me. He's like, I have 3 years to create my legacy. And I'm like, what does that even fucking mean, dude? I was almost like, hey, bro, you need to just enjoy your life. He doesn't have kids yet or anything like that. So I think that's part of it. He hasn't loved something more than himself. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts on legacy, or like, what are your thoughts on the book?
Myself, I do want to leave this planet. And the thoughts of the people who knew me said, he was a good dude. He was just a good dude. Like, that's a massive win for me. But and this is ego speaking, like, there's certain people when you go through your lineage, you look back and say, oh my God, I'm like 1/100th of a cousin to George Washington. Like, I would, my fat ego says I would like someone one day to say, you know, I was 1/100th of Mike Michenalo with guy. That guy. Like, he's 1/100th my cousin. Like, that's my fat ego with like that, that I've had that kind of impact that people want to associate that. But honestly, if I can just exit here saying that was a good dude, like that's the win for me.
Yeah, I love it. Well, speaking of your legacy, man, you've written all these books. You keep, I mean, you keep, it's what it's, you're like the freaking Beatles or something, man. Like just you keep crump. And I'm serious. Like you cranking out the hits, like okay, I'm going to admit something. I was not aware of you as an author because yeah. I, you know, the, like I, you know, just weren't on my radar.
Welcome to everybody on this planet.
Yeah, and except you have 5,000 reviews on Amazon for like one book. So like, I don't buy that shit. And trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Have, you know, yeah, that book's got some popularity.
Michalowicz, I have 51 reviews. So trust, and those were hard fought reviews. So
oh far. Yeah.
So when I see 5,000, I'm like, no, you're in the ether big time. Yeah. So, you know, you, let's talk about the new book, Get Difference, coming out. I want to hear all, you know, all that you're willing to share.
Sure.
It's a big deal, so man. Here's a book.
Here's the look. This is a, it's, here's something interesting. This is a, it's not the galley copy. They don't, my publishers, Penguin Books, they're not doing galleys because of the COVID ramifications. And literally yesterday, call with the team there and Margo on their side, who's leading the effort on their marketing, says, so how many are we going to sell the first week? And I'm like, you know, if we can do 5,000, it'd be cool. I'm like, we're targeting for 10. She goes, no. How much are we guaranteed to sell? I need to know the exact number. I'm like, who, how do I know? Like, I don't have, she's like, this is the new game of selling books with a mainstream publisher, is print is so difficult to get that you got to nail your number. If you overestimate and there's a backlog, there's a punitive situation. Not that they're going to penalize me financially, but there's a burden now on inventory that's not moving. And there's only so much shelf space that I've overprinted and they're going to dock me on the next book. If I underestimate, now there's going to be out of stock everywhere and sales are going to plummet when you're out of stock. So you got to nail the number. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a whole new level of authorship. All of my woes aside, the new book, what I try to do is boil down to the essence of what makes something effective. So with Profit First, there's so much accounting knowledge out there and it's so beyond my grasp and it's all fantastic. What I wanted to figure out was what's the one thing I can do that just makes sure I'm consistently profitable. And I boiled it down to every time money comes in, take a percentage of profit, hide it, pay yourself first in your business. And that'll change. That's the 80%er. Like that's the Pareto principle, or they call it. Like the one thing you do that has a big impact. In marketing, I said, you know, most marketing fails. And actually most small business, when I do surveys to audiences like virtual or in person, I said, you know, what's your number one resource? And hands always go up. All hands go up. The number one source of marketing is word of mouth. Oh, my client spoke favorably of me, referred me to someone else. And they're actually braggadocious. And I was too, like, you know, 90% of my leads come from my clients. And that's a wonderful representation of the quality of your work, the respect people have for you. It is a horrible source of marketing because you're at the whim of that customer to market for you.
No control.
The day that client's like, oh, we're done working with you. There goes your marketing. Yeah. So we need to control the throttle. Here's the three things I found that make marketing successful. The essence of it. And you can run this acid test against any of your marketing, any of your competitors' marketing, anything. Has what's called the DAD framework. It's an acronym. D stands for differentiate. You must do marketing differently for your prospect than everyone else is doing because we consumers become habituated. Our mind very quickly adjusts to irrelevance. So 99.999% of the stimulus around us right now, we're ignoring. We always ignore. Unless it's a threat, can bring harm to us, we got to pay attention. Opportunity, we can grasp it. Or if we don't know what it is, the unexpected, we have to evaluate for threat or opportunity. Quick example, the first hey friend email I got, I was like, oh my God, like who's this friend calling me friend? Yeah. Isn't it me, right? I'm like, this friend's amazing. So smart of this friendly friend. And halfway through it, I'm like, this is marketing. Shame on them.
Yeah.
The next hey friend that came through, I was like, hey friend equals marketing that's irrelevant. Ignored it. By the third one, I've never opened a hey friend email.
Yeah.
That's habituation. To break through it, you have to do the unexpected. That's why the first hey friend we all noticed, because it was different. The beautiful thing is in our industry, whatever niche we're targeting, Just take ideas from other industries, apply them to yours that no one's doing, and that will be the new hey friend. It will work until other people start replicating it.
Right.
The beautiful thing is, in the info marketing space, people replicate fast. In most spaces, replication happens very slowly, so you can milk that cow. The next part, so D, differentiate, then you have to be attractive. You have to get noticed. You win the customer's attention every time on being unexpected for 1/10 of a second. So now, that's like the blink test, I call it. Now you got to show attraction. Does this solve a need I have? Or more commonly, does it simply engage me because it speaks my language? Does it invoke curiosity? Is it entertaining? Something that inspires me to stay engaged with this piece. And the final part is that I must give a direct. A direct is, now that you've consumed it, I have to, as efficiently as possible, get you, the prospect, to take an action. And the key is it must be reasonable. If you're looking to buy a car, Darius, I'm the car sales guy, and you come by my lot because you saw that floppy flannel, you know, that clown thing outside, that
that's
balloon.
That's the D, right? The first D.
Yeah, that's the D, which, by the way, has become habituated. You see that thing, and you're car sales. We blow by. The first person doing that caught our attention. That you come in, and you're like, hey, I need a car. Then what I'll do is I could say, hey, give me $100,000. We'll deposit that. We'll find your dream car. And you'd be like, F no, weirdo. But I could say, would you be willing to give me your cell number? I'll take pictures of our inventory so we can find your dream car. That is a reasonable ask. And it matriculates us. It moves us toward the ultimate transaction, which is the sale. Run the DAD test against anything. If you're not doing all three elements, your marketing will not be successful. And if you look at your competition, they're not doing it. It will not be successful to the degree it could be. So that's what this is about.
So man, I love that. And so the book, it launches, what's the date that you guys launched?
September 21st. So a month from today.
Oh man, this is a big deal. And so is it for any business? Is it for the small entrepreneur, the mid-sized entrepreneur, the digital entrepreneur? Who's the audience for?
Yeah. So if your business is under $5 million in revenue, that's the community I serve. If you're a micro enterprise under $1 million, absolutely. This, I think, will be a home run for you. I really believe in what I call the underdog entrepreneur, and give you mechanisms to market at no cost throughout the book. But I also, because we already have it circulating with some groups, there's been marketing departments using it. It's a framework that can apply at any level, but really I've written this for the micro enterprise, small business.
And what got you motivated for this specific topic? Like,
okay, so here was the awakening. I was talking to people about marketing. They say, I don't want to be bothersome. I don't want to do it. There's a big fear. I've concluded that marketing, if your offering is better than the competition's, if your book serves a client dollar for dollar so extraordinarily well, if we care for a customer, we have a responsibility for them to discover us.
Yeah.
Therefore, I've concluded marketing is the ultimate deliberate act of kindness, not a bothersome thing. I'm not saying manipulate people and make them buy, but we have a responsibility for them to notice something that's superior so they can make an educated choice. So marketing is kindness. That's what motivated me to do this.
Oh, I love it, man. And so you guys, is the best way, what's the best way for people to, you know, right now the book launches in 4 weeks. What's the best way if people maybe want to pre-order it, or if people want to get ahead of the curve? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the best place is to go to gogetdifferent.com. Gogetdifferent.com. You can pre-order the book. There's all the links there for any site. But I think what's really cool is there's resources there, including 100 marketing tips that cost nothing or maybe a few dollars that are way different than anyone else is doing. So you can start doing, I call them marketing experiments today at gogetdifferent.com.
And if there's people out there like entrepreneurs or coaches or anybody that want to buy these maybe more in bulk, like how is there any opportunities for that?
Yeah. So if you go to gogetdifferent.com and you're willing to share your email address with me, on September 21st, we're going to be announcing a multi-book purchase. You did the same with your book launch. I saw some of the gifts you gave away were awesome. I think some of the gifts we're giving away are really powerful too. So you can get the books in bulk at discount, so you can share and distribute them, plus lots of free bonus stuff, which one of them actually includes the, if you so desire, an interview for inclusion in a future book. I have 3 books now queued up and I'm looking for stories. All small businesses have stories, and inevitably you're going to fit in one, so you can get featured in one of my future books.
So gogetdifferent.com is where people need to go for pre-orders. And if they put their email in, if they're interested in doing some of the bulk stuff, they could do that there too.
That's exactly right.
Oh man, well, count me in for 10 bucks. I'm in for that.
Oh dude, you are a beast. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it. Yeah, it's my pleasure. Mr. McAllowitz, the time has come and gone. I wish we had more. But yeah, gogetdifferent.com is where people can find you. The book comes out September 27th.
21st,
excuse me. Guys, first week of book launch, people are trying to sell a whole year's worth of books in 1 week. So we got to crush it. I'm going to make sure this show comes out the week before, if that works.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The week before, is that better for you?
Yeah.
The week before, you tell me.
Well, the best for a book launch is actually because consumption of like a podcast and stuff, most of it happens within the day of the broadcast. So if it came out September 20th, like that Monday or 21st, selfishly, that's 21st. Great exposure.
It's coming out the week of the 21st. So,
dude, God, look in the mirror. You're going to see the sexiest beast on the planet. Thank you.
Oh, man. Guys, thank you so much. McAllowitz, Mr. Mike McAllowitz, I appreciate you. You are a friend. You are a saint. You are a gift to the world with the books you're doing. And man, this is so much fun.
Thank you, brother.
So much gratitude, my friend. We'll talk soon, guys. Peace out. See you guys next week. See you guys.
You are listening to The Greatness Machine, and that's a wrap for today. Listen, if you love what you heard, subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform that you're tuning in on so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. We have tons of great people coming on, and we're stoked to have you here to enjoy it with us. Leave us a review. Tell us what you love most about this particular episode. We love getting the reviews. We love to see what you guys love most. And if this particular episode, you know, made you think of someone who's leveling up in their business and in their life, print screen, share it with them. Leaders are the best givers. And after all, we're all here to support and grow with each other. And in case you want to see some of the fun behind the scenes shots or some of the things that we're doing, I'm actually writing about this in my weekly newsletter. Go to www.therealdarius.com and subscribe to my newsletter. We're talking about fun things like business and life and mindfulness and cryptocurrencies and gosh, I don't even know, everything and anything, but it's tons of fun stuff I write about. I try to get it out on a weekly basis. You can subscribe at www.therealdarius.com. And with that said, look, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. I love you. Peace. We're out of here. See you guys on the next one. Hey there, what's up everybody? Darius here, and I'm here to tell you about my main man, Robert Glazer, and his amazing show, The Elevate Podcast. Robert is a buddy of mine, and his Elevate Podcast is second to none. So The Elevate Podcast, what is it? It's a conversational show where Robert sits down with world-class CEOs, New York Times best-selling authors, and the best thought leaders and performers in their field. You're going to hear stories about triumph, failure, resilience, more importantly, all the learnings along the way. So some of his guests include James Clear from Atomic Habits, Angela Duckworth from Grit, Susan Cain, author of Quiet, Morning Brew founder and CEO Alex Lieberman, and hundreds more. Every episode shares valuable insights in how to expand your capabilities as a leader and align your life and work to your most important principles. Robert's goal is that you're going to leave each episode inspired and with plenty of next steps that you can put into practice into your life. And look, if you're looking to elevate your life, your leadership, and your business, Elevate is the show for you. It's like I always say, we as podcast listeners, we listen to 6 shows, not just mine, but Bob should be one of yours. Subscribe to the Elevate Podcast today on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap, Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the Podcast Princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting Podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show, as long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join Podcast Royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting Podcast, or YAP, like it's often called by my YAP fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.